What happens when we meet Jesus? What happens when we walk up to him and say, "What shall we do?" What happens when we meet wisdom himself? What happens when we meet the Word of God himself? My friends, I think our readings today invite us to consider these questions. What happens when we meet Jesus, and what happens when we meet him today in our Eucharist? We might find, as the rich young man found, we might find that he asks us to give more than we want to give. We might find that he asks us to change something that we don't want to change. We might find that he asks us to sacrifice more than we want to sacrifice. But he also promises that hundredfold in return. He asks us to make that act of faith that believes in the promise of eternal life, even if it does mean persecutions in this life. We can very well imagine this rich young man who went away sad because Jesus asked more than he was ready to give at the time. We can imagine him going away and going back to his fine house, his fine clothes, his fine food, his servants. Imagine him trying to enjoy those things again while still that loving look and that voice of Jesus is present to his memory and his ears. We can imagine, perhaps, that he meditated on the scriptures. We can imagine, perhaps, that he meditated on this very reading from the Book of Wisdom. I prayed, and prudence was given to me. I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I prayed and I pleaded. This shows that the wisdom that is spoken of here is not one that can be gained by study, is not one that can be gained by any efforts of our own, but through prayer and through pleading with the Lord. It's speaking of the wisdom that's a supernatural gift that we refer to now as the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come with faith, hope, and charity. That's part of our relationship with God. And so certainly this kind of wisdom is greater than anything the world has to offer. So we can deem riches to be nothing in comparison with her. We can imagine perhaps that this rich young man meditated also on thoughts such as we see from the book of Hebrews. Remember, when we speak of the Word of God, yes, we're speaking of the Scriptures, but in a deeper way, we're speaking of Jesus Christ, the Word of God himself, the eternal Word of God. Indeed, the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word, that meeting with Jesus, penetrates deep into our hearts and asks us, what is it that's keeping us from following Jesus more closely? What is it that we're trying to keep for ourselves, foolishly pretending that everything doesn't belong to God and is open to him regardless? The second reading also tells us about the Lord that everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. Everything is naked and exposed to God. We have no secrets from God, even if we try to keep some things to ourselves. To the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. Maybe we don't think about that much these days. Maybe we don't think about judgment. Maybe we don't think about the holiness and the majesty of God and how often we fall short. But we do have confidence at the same time in His great mercy, and any sins that we have that we put at the feet of the Lord's mercy will be forgiven. But any sins that we are obstinate about, any sins that we fail to bring to His mercy, will be judged with justice. And so we come to the gospel, and we come to this rich young man, and we can perhaps hope that by meditating upon the scriptures and remembering his meeting with the Lord, we can hope that he came back and did belatedly as the Lord had asked, because we know that he's very patient and merciful with all of us, and that we can make an act of confidence in that hundredfold return, even if it is with persecutions in this life, but also eternal life in the world to come. This is also a good opportunity to reflect on the Catholic stewardship appeal that's going on these days. There's information on the board out there, and you may have already received a letter from Bishop McKnight about the vital ministries that the stewardship appeal supports. And we might ask ourselves in a spirit of gratitude, what can I give? What can I sacrifice with that promise of a hundredfold in return? And certainly the church is not asking you to impoverish yourself or to neglect any of your responsibilities, but in a spirit of gratitude to say, well, how can I make some small return for the great gifts that the Lord has given? And how can I make that sacrifice that deepens my relationship with the Lord? And so as we move to our Eucharist today, may that meeting with the Lord help us to reflect on how the Lord may be asking us to change and sacrifice today. Amen.